At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Keep cool this summer when you shop ceiling fans at Menards. Upgrade your space with a quick install ceiling fan from Patriot Lighting. They're loaded with extra features that will make your ceiling fan install a breeze. Plus, they reduce energy costs, helping you save time and money. Save big on our great selection of ceiling fans. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello and welcome to Alchemy 101, the show where we explore the golden path of transformation and aim to mine a few nuggets that can support us in living in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature, even though sometimes it might feel counterintuitive, just like the nightingale, a bird that sings out in the dark. I'm JJ, otherwise known as the Practical Alchemist, and I'm so glad that you could join me today. There are some truly exciting developments in the health and well-being world these days, as we learn so much more about our bodies and how they function. Shortly, we'll hear about one of those developments, neurocosmetics, which claim to improve mental health and brain health. It's a fascinating subject, and we'll hear from an expert in the field shortly. First, if we're talking about mental health, let's look at one very old remedy. Yes, it's my plant of the day, and a plant that's so familiar I suspect many of us overlook it. And it's lavender. I always have some lavender essential oil standing by. It's great for treating skin conditions, including light burns and even insect bites. It helps to relieve headaches as well as muscle and joint pain and even hair loss, which is why so many shampoos might include it in their formulas, I think. Always best to dilute the essential oil with a high-quality carrier oil if you're applying it to your skin. Lavender in aromatherapy is also great for easing anxiety, lifting depression and fending off fatigue. It's a natural anxiety buster and generally one of my go-tos for relaxation. Fragrance, of course, has always been a key element in cosmetics, and now companies are starting to take the formulation of their products to a whole new level by creating products that impact mood and brain function. At least that's what they claim. My guest today has been looking into this development with a keen interest. He's Professor James Goodwin, a good friend to the show and Director of Science and Research Impact at the Brain Health Network. He's one of the world's foremost experts on brain health, and his book, Supercharge Your Brain, is well worth reading. So you can see how the concept of neurocosmetics piqued his interest, and mine, I must confess. So I was delighted to welcome him back to the show to find out more. Is this a real health boon or just another marketing ploy? First, I asked James exactly what's meant by the term neurocosmetics.
It means a cosmetic which has direct or indirect effects on the nervous system and the brain for its betterment.
So are we talking about brain health or are we talking about mental health here? Because I would struggle to see what a cosmetic could do to help brain health.
Let's distinguish between those two ideas, mental health and brain health, because they're used interchangeably. And many people in the private sector and even in the health system in Britain use them interchangeably, and it's greatly confusing to the average person. So brain health means the normal functioning of the nervous system and the brain. in terms of its organic material. Are the fibers working properly? Are the cells working properly? Are the connection between them working properly? Are they working optimally in terms of a whole system? That's what we mean by brain health. If you've got good brain health, you will feel well, you will interact well with others, and you'll think well. Those are sort of the three outcomes of a healthy brain. Mental health, on the other hand, is the behavioral or measurable output of the brain in terms of behavior. In other words, all of our moods, for example, our sense of well-being, all of that depends upon the organic chemistry of the brain. But it can be distinguished from the brain because it's the outcome. Now, actually going from is there damage in certain parts of the brain to do we have mental health problems is not a simple process. So we can't actually tie down differences in mental health to organic changes in the brain in every single case. There are no general rules about that. Obviously, there are some in terms of brain trauma or in terms of acute degeneration, like in Alzheimer's disease, where the behavior is affected, and of course, mental health is affected. So that's the difference. Brain health is the organic condition of the brain and the nervous system itself. Mental health is the state of mind that you're in.
What are these cosmetic companies saying that they do?
It varies from, on the one hand, certain companies making claims that their particular lotion or cream or application to the skin improves mental health. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, you've got companies who claim that there's a direct effect on the biochemistry of the skin, the transmissions in the nerve, and the nerve impulses to the brain and into the condition of the brain itself. So you actually are directly affecting the brain. Now, one of the biggest arguments in their favor for that argument, the latter argument, is that skin and the brain start off as the same tissue in the embryo. They're both ectodermal. So three basic layers in an embryo when it starts off. One of
Yeah.
them is the outside layer, the ectodermal layer, and the nervous system and the skin both come from that, and they remain connected throughout development. And of course, we all know that because the brain is physically connected to the skin by means of sensory nerve endings. And it's quite intense. Some nerve endings can have a sensory field around them of tens of thousands of dendrites. That's called a concentrated research area. A concentrated sensory area. So there is this vast connection between the skin and the brain, and it varies greatly. For your readers, your listeners, the three parts of the body which have the most intensive nerve supply are the face, the hands, and the genitals. And there is a famous model called the homunculus, homo or human-like model. And this is a 3D model of the whole human body in terms of how the various parts are innervated or supplied by the brain. So it's got a massive head, massive face, massive hands, massive genitals, thin, weedy legs, and thin arms. There is a illustration of that in my book. And there's also, if you're the Wellcome Trust has a model in there. So what I'm trying to say is that this is embryological and evolutionary intimate connection between the skin and the brain through the sensory nerve endings and the fields they serve and the brain itself.
Yeah, and of course, your brain is your brain. Your book is called "Supercharge Your Brain," and
Sure.
it's available everywhere if anybody wants to really delve into brain health. Yeah, so a great book.
This idea of neurocosmetics is in its
Yeah.
infancy, and it's been described as one of the most exciting and high potential in the field of beauty today. These products have only been available for 1 or 2 years, and the
Yeah.
research is not much older than that. It's an absolutely brand new idea.
Well, I was going to
So in other
ask you about
words,
that.
we've
How
got
much
nerve
research has
endings in
been
the
done?
skin. We can put stuff on them, and it can alter the behavior of those nerve endings, and those messages will travel up to the brain and change the activity of the brain. That's essentially it.
Yeah, and so how much research has been done into it? You said, you know, the companies are only, they've only been around a couple of years, but what is the depth of research on this?
Depth of the research is new. The
Okay.
research is not profuse. It's pretty thin. So I had difficulty in finding some of the scientific papers
Yeah.
that have shown this. But those scientific papers are not weak papers. They're very strong papers. So sometimes you'll get a lot of very flimsy, superficial, paper thin reports that don't add up to very much. But other times you get magnificent placebo-controlled double-blind studies. And the one paper I had in mind is a French paper called Rosso et al., which was in 2024, that only had 82 people on, but it only had 82 people on that study because of the intensity of the measuring they did. I had difficulty following it.
Oh, wow.
I had difficulty in following that paper. What I mean by that is that there's a lot of psychophysics in there. That's the physics of psychology. Is there such a subject? Your listener might say there
Yeah, I'm,
absolutely is, with
yeah.
proven laws about how the psychology of the body changes. But this paper was a very, very strong paper, and what they found was that if you suspended the packaging, if you the effects of the packaging, if you suspended the color and if you suspended the odor, and you just had the texture made different, and they had 10 benchmark different textures, oil and water suspension, for example, oil only, emollients, rheology compounds, that's the physics of the properties of the material. If you did that, different formulas of the cosmetic actually produced different emotional responses. And if you changed one ingredient in any one of those formulas, it made those emotions more or less intense. There was a change in intensity. Now that's a very, very promising study. One of the companies, they're called ID Swiss Botanicals, with a huge market reputation. And what I would call a very genuine company. You have to take their product seriously because they put, like L'Oreal, they put an enormous and they put enormous. Clinique is another one. They put enormous amounts of research into their products, and what they say for theirs, they call it to CBD, cannabis, cannabinoid. Say that in that cosmetic, they bind up the active ingredient, the CBD molecule, in a liposome. Okay? And the liposome has got a water-repelling shell on the outside. It's a tiny thing, a liposome. It's a water-repellent shell on the outside, and then inside, the water hydrophilic, a water-loving compound. Now, that little package is like a taxi. It can get it right the way through the pores of the skin and into the capillaries and into the nerve endings. That's why they produced it in liposomes. Liposomes are proven means of penetrating the cutaneal layers, and that's what they use. And they say that these affect the cannabinoid system in the body. Well, a cannabinoid system in the body is hugely powerful. If that is the case, and they've done their homework on it, you can expect to find huge changes. What does the cannabinoid system do? It manages the metabolism, so it helps in the response to stress. It helps in the energy regulation of the body, and it helps on the sensory side. So it's what we call modulates or changes the way in which smell and taste operate.
Well, we'll get into that a little bit more shortly, but first it's time to take a break and listen to some messages from our sponsors. So don't go anywhere, and I'll be back with Professor James Goodwin right after this.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
At
Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Alchemy 101 with me, JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and my guest today, brain health expert Professor James Goodwin. Before the break, James was talking about the use of CBD in cosmetics. It's something that I could see would be a huge benefit.
I've done a lot of research on the endocannabinoid system. That's our cannabinoid system, not the phytoplant cannabinoids. But our cannabinoid system regulates so much in our body, including mood. So you can see how using CBD, cannabidiol, in skin lotion or whatever, and making sure that it actually gets delivered would enhance mood. Yeah,
it would, but a lot of other things as well, because there are two kinds of receptor on the cells of the cannabinoid system, CB1 and CB2. CB1 is in the brain, and CB2 is in the immune system. So if this cosmetic company's claims are evidence-based, then it will be a very, very powerful agent for cosmetic influence of our metabolism and our behavior. So the cannabinoid system, it helps across a wide range of metabolic activity. So it plays a role in the body's response to stress. It helps with energy regulation. It modulates taste and smell. And one, in relation to the brain, it helps with synaptic plasticity.
Yeah.
For your listeners, what's synaptic plasticity? It's the ability of the brain to change its operations to accommodate challenges on a daily basis. So new learning, for example, when we're faced with a new problem and we have to find an answer to that problem. It could be work-related, it could be home-related, it could be human relationships. Right across the piece, now, that's very, very important part of the activity of the brain, having this synaptic plasticity or flexibility. It helps us to age better as well. It helps our brains to maintain their vitality. So if the cannabinoid system can be stimulated by a cosmetic, go for it.
I know. It sounds great. And I have to say that I've noticed a lot of lotions and potions recently which do have CBD in them, and although maybe not using the liposomal system to get them into our system, as it were, and I think that's a good thing, because we tend to, from my research, see that we're all deficient in cannabinoids anyway, because although we make our own, we often don't have what we need to function.
Yeah, we talked earlier off the microphone, didn't we, about NAD, the source of energy in the body.
Yeah.
And we derive it from on the food we eat, but we are deficient in it on a daily basis.
Yeah,
but
yeah. So
the same with cannabinoids. It's exactly
And NAD, of course, I think we talked about previously and how important that is. But we all have different baselines as well. So it's really, I guess, a question of looking at how you can get these different things into your system that we are deficient in. And if we
and back to liposomes, if a cosmetic claims to have CBD in it and it's going to be absorbed via the skin, it won't be unless it will be less well absorbed if in the absence of liposomes.
There you go. Yeah.
Check it out. If it's got liposomes in it, you'll get it into the body. If it hasn't, you'll get it into the body of the squeeze. It'll be much more difficult to get that.
But that's
in.
Getting it through the skin, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Getting it in through the through the skin. Now, JJ, your listeners may wonder about the benefits of cosmetics, other than its effect on our brain and so on. The cosmetic industry is onto a real winner because looking attractive is one of the oldest and most powerful evolutionary drives in the body. As ever, it's all based around sex. And what I mean by that is transmission of DNA. So the most important thing for all living organisms is to transmit their DNA and reproduce. And therefore, the drive to do this in humans is really, really powerful. It's been there for, I would say, 1.5 million years during the course of the evolution of the brain. True humans on Earth 300,000 years ago, our ancestors before then had this drive to be attractive. Let me give you an interesting piece of research. A group of German and American scientists looked at children 18 months old, and they tracked their eye movements in a social setting. So, with lots of other 18-month-old infants with them and also humans there. And what they found was their eye movements tracked the attractive people in the room and did not look at the unattractive people. So, attractiveness is hugely important. And if you look attractive, your feeling of well-being will be higher than if you don't look attractive. And that science has found can be improved by cosmetics. So, not only will the brain focus on attractiveness, it focuses more on attractive people who have applied cosmetics. There are things called costly signals in attractiveness. It's an evolutionary term. In other words, if you haven't got these signals to portray to someone else through your appearance, if you're not attractive, there's a cost for that, which means there's that you may be less successful in reproducing. And sociologists have got hold of this idea of attractiveness, and what they found is that attractive people attract other attractive people. That's one thing they found as a big driver of who we mix with and how we mix with them. Secondly, attractive people generate more wealth throughout their lives. People who are deemed to be attractive. Now, what do we mean by attractiveness? Every culture around the world has got its own criteria, but within that culture, they all agree on what attractiveness is. So it's a very highly defined concept. And people seek to be attractive to themselves and to others. And that is why the cosmetics industry is onto a winner. And now, in addition to that, we're finding that the cosmetics can have a direct effect on health, for example, in neurocosmetics. The cosmetic industry shies away from any health claims.
Yeah, of
Because
course.
if they did, they'd be subject to regulation. So the FDA in America, it's a really good example. They regulate food differently to they regulate drugs. So they'll tell you about the safety and efficacy of a drug. They won't. They'll concentrate more on the safety of any food products. But you can turn a food product into a drug in under American law. Do you know how? By claiming that it has some effect on health and well-being. They will say, okay, you made a claim about it. You can treat an anxiety disorder with this product. It will make you feel better in a very highly specific disease-defined way. And if you do that, you'll get fined millions and millions of dollars.
We have a similar thing here, don't we? Because, for
We
instance,
do. It
CBD.
used to be a European body we were under. There's an official government body which, of course, does regulate drugs and give them a license to produce. That's essential. Without that, you'd have people taking any snake oil in the world that people made a claim for and producing dire results.
And although CBD has known positive effects, it is classed as a food in the UK because, otherwise it would be regulated.
So what do I make of neurocosmetics? I think it's going to have huge benefits if the claims that they make can actually be proven over many years. In other words, by longitudinal evidence. So a snapshot like a single scientific paper can be a fantastic snapshot. It can be hugely robust. It can have high quality evidence in there, and it can be the basis of a change in thinking. But to be certain of the effects of cosmetics, you need not those strong scientific papers, which are just snapshots. You need longitudinal studies over many years. In other words, a proven track record that it does actually make a difference.
So, listening to you talking about these companies making these products now, I'm just thinking, well, isn't that kind of what was generally termed as cosmetics in the past? And suddenly we're slapping the word neuro onto the word cosmetics and making it sound as if they do something other than or extra. But, from what you're talking about in terms of, the normal cosmetics industry, smell, perfume, how it feels on the skin, that sort of thing. These are all things that they've been looking at for decades.
Yes, behavioral scientists who work for the cosmetic companies do look at the behavioral effects, which they euphemistically call consumer preferences, choice.
Yes.
So they manufacture their products to engage human behavior in such a way that it influences your preferences and your choice. Don't think that when you're standing at a cosmetics at a cosmetics counter, that your behavior isn't being manipulated. It is. It's being manipulated by color, even by taste if it's lipstick, by flavor, and by the packaging and what they say about you. There's a complete manipulation of consumers in cosmetics, like in everything else that we buy. The hard thing is to show that that particular application, whether it's a skin cream or a lotion, produces the effect that they say it does. In other words, changes your feeling of well-being, maybe the way in which you think, and also how you interact with other people. Interacting with other people is one of the three pillars of good brain health: thinking well, mixing well with others, and feeling well. They're your three. Social drives are changed by cosmetics, the way in which you interact with people. So it can be a direct effect and it can be an indirect effect. You look better, so that you interact better. You feel better about yourself, so you interact better, right? And you look better to other people, so they interact better with you. So for me, that is a huge indirect bonus of cosmetics anyway. They make people feel well because you feel good if you think you're attractive and other people are attracted to you. I would say all men, all women should use cosmetics. That is my view, to make themselves look better and feel better. But if you've got a cosmetic that is going to affect the most important organ in the body, which is the brain, and those effects are proven, we're onto a what we call a paradigm shift, a really big change in the way in which we do things. Now, can I just add, JJ, that drug companies are looking continuously at how to get their drugs into the body. Mostly it's the oral route. Mostly it's the oral. Sometimes it's cutaneous through the skin. But if you swallow something or put it through the skin, it's filtered. The tablet goes into your stomach. It's subject to the digestive processes. It's got to find its way into the duodenum. Then it's got to be absorbed. How does it get through all the filters in the absorbing surface? Then it goes to the liver, and the liver plays about with it. How can we get it directly to where it's supposed to be going? And they're looking more and more at different routes. One of them is the skin. The other one is the nose. So nasal application of drugs is hugely important. Why? Because the drug can enter the nerve sensory endings themselves in the nose and go straight directly into the brain and bypass the digestive system. Or if you inhale it, doesn't have to go into the digestive system, goes into the lungs, is absorbed by the blood, and then is delivered to the tissues quicker. So cosmetics, if you can have drugs delivered by cosmetics and they work, you have overcome one of the biggest barriers to successful absorption and effects of the active principle, your digestive system.
Yes, the delivery is really important, and we'll hear more about that shortly. First, it's time for another short break. to hear more from our station sponsors. So sit back and enjoy. We'll be back right after this.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
The station that makes you feel good.
And this is Alchemy 101 here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio station. I'm JJ, the practical alchemist, and neurocosmetics is the subject of the day, with my special guest, Professor James Goodwin, the brain health expert. Now, we were talking about delivery methods before the break, and I've noticed more and more companies are making claims to have developed ways to nanosize the active ingredients in their products to increase the effectiveness of delivery through the skin and also across the blood-brain barrier. I use a glutathione supplement myself that does this, as glutathione doesn't survive well in our stomachs. Magnesium's another supplement that can be more effective taken transdermally or through the skin. So I put it to James that a lot of work has already been done in this area of delivery.
Yeah, there's been a lot done. There's a boundary or a barrier in the brain itself. It's called the blood-brain barrier.
Yeah.
That's hugely important because it protects the brain against unwanted materials in the blood, toxins of all infections, molecules of all kinds getting to the brain. So the blood vessels that are in the brain have very tight junctions between the cell, their cells. They're called tight junctions. Normally there's one vessel cell, and then an immune system cell, and then another vessel cell. That's how one way in which that works. Or two cells together butted up so tightly that you can't get anything through there. Interesting for your listeners, the way they discovered this was they put dyes into the blood to see what would go into the brain. And no coloured dye ever did. So in other words, something was keeping it. It went everywhere else in the body, but it didn't get into the brain. So they said, there's something stopping it. So they say, this is a perverse idea. Let's put the dye directly into the blood and see what happens. Directly into the brain and see what happens. So they put some harmless dyes into the brain that never came out.
Wow.
So that's the way in which the brain seals it. Seals itself off. Even its drainage system is very tightly controlled by deep sleep. That's called the glymphatic system. I mean, that's astonishing. So in other words, if you can't get into deep sleep, the toxin in your brain stay there largely. If you get into deep sleep three or four times a night, then the drainage system opens up, and it opens up because an electrical pulse or signal that is generated by deep sleep flows to the drainage system, moves to the drainage system and opens it up. That's how it works. So you're quite right about nanoparticles. How can we get things into the brain, for example, and beat this hermetic ceiling that we've got there by using very small particles? Now, I'm going off piste a little bit, but it just indicate to the listeners the extent of this research. There are very small particles which are reduced from damaged nerve cells called exosomes. They are 4 nanometers. That's 4 millionths of a millimeter.
Wow.
The tiniest size. maybe 3 to 5 nanometers. These are exosomes. So if you're getting out of the car or getting into the car and you bang your head, right, a shower of these exosomes comes out from the damaged nerve fibers, not so much from the cells, but from the fibers that come off the nerve cells. Those exosomes then flood into the bloodstream, and they start to shed off biomarkers. So, plumes of biomarkers come out of these little exosomes. I work with a company in California who's developing a blood test for concussion
Oh, wow.
because there isn't one.
Yeah.
There is not a blood test. I think Abbott Pharmaceuticals in America has got a blood test if there's bleeding in the brain. But other than that, if there's in the absence of bleeding, just mechanical trauma to the brain, there's no test, and they're working on one. What they do is they use immunoassay to look at these very small biomarkers that are released from the exosomes. So you can get, if you play rugby, if you play soccer, if you're in the martial arts, if you're a fireman or a policeman, occupational hazards, and you bang your head repeatedly, but in a minor way, each time there's an effect in the brain and it's shedding these exosomes. Well, over the course of your life, this unseen damage is going to increase your risk of dementia.
Oh, really?
Yes. All right.
Wow.
Repeated blows to the head will do that. Now they've discovered a blood test for it. And we're right down back to your point about nanoparticles, the tiniest of
Yeah.
chemical and biological particles that we can study. So back to cosmetics. If you can get nanoparticles in cosmetics that can carry something from the skin, you're rubbing it in,
Yeah.
to the brain, you're onto a winner. One particular problem in medicine is infections in remote areas of the body. So you get a bone infection from a trauma, an open fracture, anything. If you get an infection, you try getting an antibiotic into that bone. All bones have blood supplies. All bones have blood flowing through them, but the extent of the blood flow is very small compared to a muscle, for example, or
Yeah,
skin or any other
exactly. Yeah.
tissue. So nanoparticles, you might be able to use them as taxis or as vehicles for getting small antibiotic molecules to these remote areas a lot better.
And then, again, coming back to cosmetics, if you can combine, not necessarily getting antibiotics into the body, but combine something which is going to do you good with making you feel good. As we talked about earlier, in terms of cosmetics, if we improve our looks according to whatever social markers we, are aspiring to,
Exactly.
then win-win.
We do win. And the beauty of cosmetics is that it can help to mitigate the poor dimensions of your appearance. So all cultures identify attractiveness on their own criteria, and it's to do with proportions of the face largely. What's the width of the face to the length of the face, the nose, the eyes, and everything else. You can override that to an extent with cosmetics. So those very hard physical measures of attractiveness can be smoothed down, right, and made softer by the use of cosmetics. It's a win-win.
It is. And as we've been talking about different cultures and different views of attractiveness, I couldn't help thinking of that various indigenous tribes around the world who have very different ideas of what attractive is. And I remember once traveling in Namibia and meeting people at the Himba tribe, and the women cover their bodies in ochre and butterfat. And they sculpt their hair with ochre and butterfat.
Sure.
And I think they look stunning, but it's not the sort of thing that would go down well here in the UK.
No, well, the
Probably.
great beauty about humanity is everybody, humanity as a whole, its successfulness, its success is based upon how well it reproduces in evolutionary terms. And attractiveness is a huge part of that. And it doesn't matter which culture you're in, that property of attractiveness is vitally important for that promulgation of the species. We mustn't underestimate the power of the driver of attractiveness and the power of that sexual drive. They say in the Western world, at least 1 in 8 and maybe 1 in 5 of children in a family are not fathered by the husband.
Really?
Yeah.
1 in 5.
I've seen one paper in which that it was claimed where they said it's as high as 1 in 5. But it's
Gosh.
very common. It's very common. Why? Because hybrid vigor, different DNA, makes success in terms of survival from infections or any other challenge in the environment. So it's a natural that, if you like, I don't want to be quoted on this, but if you like, there's a part of promiscuity that is determined by evolution, because in terms of promiscuity, you get different mixes of DNA, therefore more hybrid vigor, and therefore more survivability. So that promiscuity of shedding DNA or sharing DNA with other people is a survival mechanism. Now, of course, there's hundreds more reasons than that. It's only one part of it, but that's the power of the drive to transmit your DNA and to transmit it through reproductive means. I haven't been very articulate on that, I know, but
No, well, I kind of get what you're driving at there. And and then I guess to combine delivering something which is good for us with that drive for attractiveness and is it's just the perfect way of making sure that we all stay healthy.
personally, I'm hopeful that the claims of the neurocosmetic industry are correct, because if we can have that direct influence, beneficial influence on our brains and nervous system, it's only got to be good. You've got an indirect one through attractiveness, but cosmetics improves that. And if you can improve it a step further by delivering an agent for change into the body for our health, I hope it works.
Well, on that, I think that's a good place to leave it today. Thank you so much.
Okay.
We've gone through a whole load of things in our chat today, but fascinating area, isn't it? Fascinating area of developing new ways to deliver mental health, if
Sure.
not brain health necessarily, but certainly mental health to everybody. I think that's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining me today and talking about this. It's something that I hadn't really heard about before. It hadn't really crossed my sort
Yeah,
of
for your listeners, the companies are Capital, CAP Beauty. They make a claim that Grifonia in their product raises serotonin in the brain.
Wow.
I mentioned ID Swiss Botanicals.
Yeah.
They claim that they can get their cannabinoids into the brain. And then you've got Selfmade, that's another brand. And they say directly that their product formula will improve your mental health.
Wow.
So those are just some of the companies.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, thank you for mentioning those, and I'm sure that anybody listening can go away and investigate for themselves if they're interested in that. But for now, thank you so much for coming on to the show yet again. It's always great to have a chat with you and talking to me about this and our listeners. And and I want to hear a little bit more about the brain drainage at some stage, because that's something that hadn't really crossed my path either. So I want to hear a little bit more about that. So maybe you can come back and talk to us about that another time.
I'd love to do that. And brain drainage and improvement of it is trending at the moment on TikTok, and
Ooh, well, we
trending
better
on
talk
TikTok
about it
and on
then.
Google. TikTok has 30, is it 13,000 a day at the moment? Google 2,000 searches monthly on glymphatics, and actually an Ayurvedic medicine, Indian medicine drug, a flower. I think it's called bicopa,
Yes,
but
I know Bacopa, yeah.
bicopa,
Oh, Bacopa is BACOPA.
And I've just written an article for that in a magazine called The Conversation, so
Right.
that's coming out probably this week or next. So if people want to
Okay.
look, it talks about that.
Well, maybe come back another time soon and talk about it here because I think that's a fascinating thing. And as I say, not something that had come across my radar up until now. So let's do that another time. But for now, thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll speak to you soon.
Thank you, JJ. It's a pleasure.
Professor James Goodwin there. Honestly, I do find the workings of our brain and our bodies in general quite extraordinary. And yes, we covered a lot of ground there, some of it a bit of a surprise to me. Never a dull moment when the professor's on the show. And James will be back to talk more about the correlation between sleep and brain health and that drainage that he was talking about. And that just about brings us to the end of today's show. I had been having issues with my microphone when we recorded that interview, so I hope it wasn't too much of a distraction for you. Remember, if you want to find out more about me, you'll find all you need to know at my website, thepracticalalchemist.uk. That's where all the information about how I can help you sits, including details about my energy work. You'll also find all the links to anything that I'm up to and my social media channels, including my Alternatively Speaking channel on YouTube. And of course, I've got to give a plug to Health Triangle magazine. Do go and have a look at that. It's full of fantastic articles about health and well-being, some of them written by presenters and show hosts here on UK Health Radio, and some by guests who are experts at what they do. You'll find a link to Health Triangle magazine on the homepage at ukhealthradio.com. For now, though, there's just time to say thank you so much for listening. I really do appreciate you. Join me next time for more Practical Alchemy. Until then, it's goodbye from me and that nightingale.
Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.